Hey everybody, this is the latest edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I'm CDJ, and I'm joined by JB Husker and Gushwenti. Lots of NCAA Football 13 news and gaming news in general with E3 2012 in the books. But however, during E3 2012, the NCAA Football 13 demo came out, kind of a surprise announcement. A lot of people knew that news was coming, and for some reason they thought it was going to be a big feature, which I can understand that. That's what people like. They want to hear more great game news. But there were no NCAA playbooks involved, so I think that should have been a pretty big hint. It wasn't a feature. It was the demo. The demo out, and it's pretty extensive in terms of what you can do with it. It's a little bit more than I thought they were going to have in there. You can play one Heisman Challenge matchup with Robert Griffin III, the co-cover athlete. There's also three Dynasty games. They're calling it the Dynasty Experience. USC-Oregon, LSU-Alabama, and Kansas State versus Baylor. And tying in with the Heisman Challenge, you can put RG3 on any of those rosters as part of the Heisman Challenge mode. Along with that, quite a few unlocks for the retail version of the game. Playing through the demo, if you play each of the three matchups, you will unlock Tim Brown, Archie Griffin, and Jim Plunkett for the Heisman Challenge mode. And if you share the demo with a friend, you'll unlock 5 Nike Pro Combat uniforms for use in retail version of the game. And the schools those include are LSU, Navy, Stanford, Boise State, and Ohio State. The demo's out. Guys, we haven't played it currently as we record this a whole lot yet. The community has quite a few thoughts out there. Tommy, I'll let you go first. Share your thoughts on the demo structure and just some of the community thoughts that you've seen so far on it.
Well, I'm mad at either Sony or EA or whoever made the decision that the demo is not going to be available, because as of recording this, I still have not got my hands on it. So moving on. Reading everybody's impressions, they basically kind of have some of the similar impressions I had from our April community event. Basically, a lot of the things that I really took as positive things, the shotgun read option, especially the better blocking, the new passing mechanics, things like that, they're basically just echoing a lot of things that I agreed, that I thought back in April. So it's definitely good to hear that that's still what everybody's seeing today, especially considering, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the actual release of the game, so this is going to be even newer than what we played in April. But basically, it sounds like overall a really positive reviews of what the demo is, which they almost had to do just because of all of the negative news, which we'll get into in a little bit, about what NCAA doesn't have this year. It's basically, this was NCAA's time to say, this is what we did, and you're either going to enjoy it or not, and it's you to decide.
We should clarify first off, and I've seen other people say this, and you had mentioned it but not specifically, is that this wasn't purposely planned to be out today. It was one of those things that went through certification much faster than expected. So this was a unexpected surprise for everyone involved. That it wasn't, they didn't know that the mad news was going to come out and then have the demo the next day. It almost was a coincidence, probably for the best, but a very good coincidence.
It's that extra present that slips under the tree on Christmas Eve.
That's now, JB, what are your thoughts on the demo makeup and also community thoughts? And you've actually had the opportunity to play a little bit of it before we recorded the show.
Look at it as like Price is Right, the old cliffhanger guy. You know, it was a nice little rise to the top of the mountain, but then in the last couple of weeks with some announcements, that mountain climber's fallen off the mountain, you know. And I was kind of worried because, you know, I always like to give that reality check that the demo is not the final result of the retail product. Throughout the afternoon, you know, as I was working, I got to see a lot of thoughts from the community on the 360 on the demo, and I was for all the negativity that's kind of been around the last couple weeks, I was really pleased that overall the vibe has kind of gone back to the positive side. You know, I've seen people comment on the game looks fresh. You know, we on a side note, you know, we don't know if all the animations are in the demo because, you know, they like to strip back the sound and things. So all those animations, they may not be in the demo. We would always want to check on that. But I've already seen people say the demo looks fresh. They love the past trajectories. Things are, for the most part, acting the way they should be. And so it's good to see that we're kind of doing another 180 to the positive side of things. As for my playing of the demo, I've logged in a lot of hours, a lot of games over the community days here since January, and sitting there playing the demo, it felt good. It felt good to kind of get a little more of a advanced build from what the last time I played. And, you know, at community events, we got a bunch of people in the same room, so I don't normally have the sound cranked up. So I was able to, you know, kind of crank up that sound on my surround sound system, and I did a quick one with the Baylor Kansas State matchup, and when Baylor kind of makes their entrance, you know, it was kind of cool to hear that improved crowd, just that swell when the team comes out, you know, for the first time onto the field. It I definitely noticed a great difference there. It sounded really good, and I'm kind of happy that we're kind of getting back to the positive side of things here with the game.
That's one of the things. Couple things we should mention. The game is on varsity difficulty, and there's no option to change that for Tommy did the legwork this afternoon and found out that while they wanted to have that in there with the structure of the demo, if they had put it in, there were some bugs with it, and they just said let's not add bugs to a demo. It's already going to be, you know, some spots where it might be a little rough or outdated. Let's not go in and add more. So it makes it a tough gauge, but like you guys have said, and what I've been looking around to a couple of different community sites, people seem pretty happy, generally speaking. Part of that due to the news recently, but also they like the new passing system. I've seen a couple guys say that the computer offense is done some nice things in terms of scrambling quarterback, getting some good yards, running several times, basically becoming a legit running threat. Some people have commented about the crowd noise being improved. I've seen some people talk about the visuals. I've seen good and bad on the visuals, so I'm not really sure what's up there. Some things might be toned down for the demo's sake, like you said, we really don't know. Commentary is an area where I've seen a little bit mixed. I think people like the ticker and they like the stories of Saturday, but there's been some talk about Brad and Kirk seeming the same, Reese Davis seeming a little, I don't know what the word I've seen, there's not really one word I've seen more than any other, but people aren't really huge fans of how he's delivering his lines.
Kind of robotic.
It seems like people are pretty positive, and I always think sometimes forms, and this is kind of a horrible example, but I'm still going to use it. Like on the Muppets, the two old guys are up in the balcony, Statler and Waldorf. And I'm not trying to be mean here, but sometimes that's what the way we are on forums, mm-hmm. is that we'll start off saying, well, you know, it's not half bad, and by the end of the page, it's all bad. Mm-hmm. You know, it morphs and changes, and the beauty of forums is that you get a lot of opinions, but the bad part is if you go in, you can convince yourself of anything. You can go in, depending what you read or whose post you look at, you could think it's the greatest game ever, or you could think it's the worst game ever, when in reality, it's definitely in between. So far, the impressions seem pretty solid. Granted, it's still early, not enough time probably for people to find anything major, but they seem to like that. The makeup of it is interesting, like we started off the show with, lots of things to unlock. I'm just hoping that a lot of the fans realize all the unlocks that are in there, so that way after launch, we aren't bombarded with, how do I get those three Heisman Challenge guys again? How do I get those pro combats? Hopefully that's made clear enough, and hopefully the video by EA and the blog and the stuff on community sites will get that question and answer out there to the community. Let's get to the bad news. Maybe it's bad news for some. Maybe some don't care. We found out that Madden has in it what they are calling the Infinity Engine. This is not a new car. It is actually a physics system. It's something that people have been asking for in both football titles for a long time. It's something, personally, I didn't think we'd see it till the next gen, being the PS4 or the Xbox 720 or the Loop, whatever they're calling it. So then when this was announced as part of E3 with Madden, I think we were all pretty surprised that, you know, how did Madden get in, not NCAA football? They have the same core gameplay team. How did this happen? And through, I believe, IGN and Kotaku both had talked about it. It's just that at some point they made this push and it happened to come together in the window where too late for NCAA football, but early enough to put into Madden. Along with that, and we'll talk about the Infinity Engine here in a second, along with that, one item that I'm surprised more people aren't upset about, and I'm not trying to throw fire, you know, gas on the fire here, but also it was one of the blogs that mentioned that Madden has brought over the photo game face feature as part of their connected careers mode, where you can put your face in there for the coach or player. NCAA football does not have the game face feature. So those are two pretty big things that I've seen a lot in the community ask for over the last few years. Tommy, please keep it G-rated. What are your thoughts on these missing features?
My first thought whenever I officially knew that it wasn't an NCAA was just simply a matter, as far as the physics engine goes, was basically heartbroken. I mean, it was basically knowing that NCAA is this great game this year, and then seeing that it's like you getting a great Christmas present, and then your friend getting a great Christmas present, and then another great Christmas present on top of it. So it's basically one of those things that it makes your great Christmas present look a little bit smaller. And that's basically how I feel about NCAA this year. It's a great game, but unfortunately, everybody's going to sit there and say, well, yeah, but Madden's got, you know, yeah, but Madden's got. So it's one of those things that I really wish it had made it into the NCAA, but then the more I hear about it, the more they talk about it, it basically makes me think that they didn't necessarily rush to get into Madden, but it may in the end feel somewhat rushed. It may not be completely polished and will be better served in being in NCAA 14 instead of being in this year's game. And then as well with it being in Madden 13, that basically gives them a year that to basically figure out where their quirks were and figure out what gamers didn't like and so on and so forth. So it's a negative on the face value, but it can be looked at as a positive for the future of NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, I always look at things in a business sense, and sometimes people will think that that's just, you know, you're just trying to sugarcoat it or whatnot. But, you know, I always look at things in the broad picture, and the fact, you know, we got a lot of great things done with NCAA. This just would have probably put it over the top, but I mean, I wasn't as heartbroken as Tommy on it, just because of the fact we don't know what we're gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
The three of us haven't seen Madden. I mean, there's times we've gotten to see Madden a little bit in the past, but we're really kind of seeing Madden this year as the rest of the community is seeing it. We have no idea what's coming. You know, we had no idea that this was even the big surprise. We knew there was a big thing that the community day guys were just completely stoked about. And we're still in the realm of we don't know. I mean, this could just turn into backbreaker Madden for all we know. You know, this could. I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to cripple it at all. People just need to, I think, look at it for the fact that A, you know, Madden has even though NCAA had a little bit of a, you know, a head start in production, well, this thing wasn't ready in time. So by the time this was ready, Madden had time to fit it in. NCAA was already on lockdown. So, you know, it is disappointing, but at the same time, I mean, it's not the very first time something's gotten into Madden that hasn't gotten into NCAA. And at the same time, over the past few years, NCAA has actually gotten a few things before Madden. So I don't think it's going to revert to Madden is getting all the focus anymore. It just came down to timing. And I don't think enough people realize it, that it just came down to timing. This thing got into NCAA, it would probably be broken. We'd have an NBA Elite. And it's kind of hard for people to kind of look at it at all angles. But at the same time, like Tommy said, that just gives you something to look forward to. We got enough on the table, gameplay-wise, especially for the hardcore guys, to look forward to 13. Guys are loving the demo. You got the pass trajectory. You got all sorts of things that are sitting out there. This is just going to probably be the thing that could knock NCAA over the top next year. This could be something that is just going to blow people away. It's going to give something for people to look forward to, but at the same time, you've got something on the table to look forward to here next month.
Like, I understand why things played out the way they did. It's disappointing, you bet. There's no denying that. But it would have been so great if both titles could have had it, because then EA could have truly presented this year, you know, the 13 titles being, you don't have to wait for next gen. We brought it to you now. You know, the marketing possibilities, the PR angles, and just the community mindset of saying, hey, you wanted this, you didn't think you were going to get it, and we gave it to you. That I think it would have been just, the football communities would have been overjoyed. Maybe I'm overstating it, but I just think there would have been such a positive, and now it's tempered with, well, you know, the pro guys get it, but the college guys, you don't. And my concern, or maybe just thought, is that what we're going to get in 13 in Madden is, I don't want to say partial, but it'll be much deeper next year. And I think it's at a stage now where, you know, we see community guys saying, well, I hope it's buggy in Madden. Well, I don't. I hope it's awesome in Madden. I just hope it's not so awesome that you can't play both titles. That's my concern. And I have a feeling that it's going to be pretty cool, but the NCAA is still going to be, you know, a good game of football. So that's where I think it gets a little disappointing. But in the long run, hopefully it'll pay off. And in some regards, NCAA may take not just a leap, but a leap and a half next year between the, you know, 13 and 14, because if you play Madden, you already kind of know what's coming up with some of the physics stuff and where it fits in. Whereas NCAA next year, when it comes out first, is going to have that and then some. And I can't imagine that Madden is going to have a huge additional physics in that time that would overlap 14 or beat NCAA 14. You never know, but I really don't think that's what's going to happen. But let's get into E3 a little bit, something that's been a recent trend the last few years, so it's not surprising. But NCAA football with a very, very slight mention. And we've talked about this in the forums, and privately we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
We understand why it's this way. But with the features that NCAA football added this year, namely the Heisman Challenge, and perhaps even some of the ESPN stuff with the stories of Saturday, it's disappointing that there's not more of a on-stage presence. I realize they only have 1 hour, and it's EA titles and EA Sports titles, so very limited on time. My mindset is you can't for 1 minute bring out, this year especially, a Heisman Trophy winner. Being in L.A., you have Matt Leinart and Carson Palmer you could have brought out. You're going to get the L.A. media to pay some attention, being two USC boys, local boys. It's probably going to get some national play a little bit. Kind of a missed opportunity.
RG3 is pretty much a national darling as well. I mean, throw him out
right
there, people will cheer for him.
And I would say with that, and this is kind of my thought, and I don't know any thoughts internally, so I should clarify that now. But I would think if I was a designer, a developer, and, you know, E3 is, you know, gaming's biggest stage,
mm-hmm.
and your game was basically a throwaway line, and it's been that way for several years. And I don't think – some people seem to think that's EA's indictment on the NCAA football franchise. I don't think that's it.
No.
I think they just feel we need to push Madden. It's the big one. But I just can't help but think, boy, you know, those guys are better men than me, because I'd be a little steamed. And as a fan, I'm a little steamed.
Well,
Tommy, go ahead.
I think where it falls into is that the fact of the matter is that Madden already has such a large audience that you can just simply mention Madden and it gets some publicity. However, mm-hmm. NCAA doesn't have that audience, number one. And number two, what they were showing was more about the technological advances and not saying, hey, this is what we've added to Madden. They were talking about the physics engine. They were talking about the completely revamped franchise mode, and then as well in the Microsoft, they were showing off the tech demo for the Kinect, which obviously Microsoft wants to sell, but then as well that smart glass prototype. I don't think that's in the game this year. I really doubt it is, but basically, you know, Madden is getting sort of the tech demos of E3, whereas NCAA, unfortunately, doesn't have any of those tech demo type features. And then, of course, FIFA has such a large audience that you can just simply mention FIFA and mention, you know, one of the great players, and you'll automatically snare somebody. The problem is that NCAA is a niche title. It is, you know, I guarantee that 90% of the people that were in that audience for the EA briefing have never even played it, probably not even know that it exists, just because they are there for the shooters. You know, some may be there for Madden that don't play NCAA. It just simply is not who E3 is targeted to, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you know, if anybody watched the live stream from Spike on the EA press conference, you know, EA kicked off with Dead Space, and I don't know if this was in last year or it's been in before, but Spike had had kind of a live, real-time meter. We had like kind of five categories, from disinterested to this is excellent, you know, and it was kind of like a little line graph, and it would be real-time of people that click on, you know, they click on what they're feeling at the time, and, you know, Dead Space was all the way up in the green. This is awesome. This is cool. And as soon as the sports titles came on, that thing dropped to red. And if you look at the live comments on Facebook and Twitter, it was just people bitching about, why are you showing sports? You know, Tommy hit the nail on the head. The E3 audience is not looking for sports games. They are bored to death with those, because that's not the majority that's paying attention. I think if I remember correctly, Spike kind of did a breakdown of the Microsoft. They did a breakdown of the Microsoft presentation, and they were kind of seeing what the highs and lows were. And once they started talking about that Kinect fitness stuff and sports stuff, that just kind of the interest level just dropped through the roof. It's just because that's not the target. It isn't the fact that NCAA is kind of the the redheaded stepchild or whatever. It's just E3 is not the platform for it. Though it would be kind of cool to see EA to maybe add a half an hour the presentation. I mean, because you basically got, you got EA at about 3 o'clock Central Time, and then Ubisoft is about 5 or 5:30 Central Time. You kind of think that you may be able to fit in another block to where EA gets an hour and a half, and for the first hour they just talk about the straight-up EA titles, Need for Speed, Dead Space, you know, games like that. Then they have that block from 4 to 4:30 where they just focus on the sports titles. You know, I don't know if the logistics are of things. I don't know if you have to go to Peter Moore to suggest this. I don't know if you have to go to E3 to suggest this. You know, it's kind of hard telling. But if they can add that extra half-hour block, and that extra half-hour block is just straight sports, where you know from 4 to 4:30 Central, you're getting EA Sports briefings. And then that way, you know, the NCAA team can maybe hold something back and release this big bang to the public, kind of like the real-time physics for Madden, you know, hold that back for that, just that little half hour, because there are going to be enough people that pay attention to E3 that are sports fans, but at the same time, you know, that's not the main market for them. So maybe that could be the solution, if it's even feasible, maybe add a half an hour and you just make that last half hour straight up sports.
I see your points, and move on to more E3 discussion in a second. But I just think, I understand your point that this isn't the place for it. But you can't tell me that this is a place to debut Wonder Book. So, and you, we see a bunch of games on stage.
Oh my
really
God!
Is not the place.
Well,
that,
I mean, that was that, just simply
that,
a,
that presentation a, took for frickin' ever too.
Yeah, that was a tech demo, and it was just simply a matter of, it was a poor choice by Sony, and I think they're getting railed by everybody. And if EA was to dedicate as much time to NCAA, they would get railed on it.
I agree with that.
And if EA were even to dedicate that much time to just FIFA, they would get railed for it. Honestly, no game at all deserves as much time as Wonder Book got. So that's simply out of the discussion.
But the feedback was like I said, the real time feedback was sky high for Dead Space 3, even though they added something really controversial, a co-op aspect, where the first two Dead Space games, that was an isolation game. That was what kind of made them. Co-op is a big gamble for them, but that's still, the interest was sky high. But as soon as they got to FIFA, I think FIFA was the first thing they talked about, that approval, that, you know, that real-time approval rate just went down rock bottom. I think that's why you don't see NCAA, because at the same time, you got FIFA and Madden, which combine for, you know, 15 to 20 million in sales a year. Those are getting low approval ratings at E3. Why are they going to throw in the fourth or fifth best-selling title in their sports portfolio into such a, you know, for lack of a better term, prime real estate, which is E3?
I think you got to at least sacrifice a minute, especially in a year when you have a Heisman focus, because
I agree.
It's not the place. But a lot of those people, they may not know anybody who plays currently, but they know what the Heisman Trophy is. And a lot of it is, you're not doing it necessarily for the here and now. You're also doing it because a lot of those articles get picked up elsewhere, and people who stumble across it later on. It's one of those things where the only bad press is no press. Mm-hmm. And guess what NCAA football got yesterday at E3? No press.
And that's why, bad press.
That's
why I think they should give, like I said, it may not be even feasible, but a half-hour block just for EA Sports. That way your non-sports fans can just tune out. You've got EA's already got that hour where they're locked in. But then you got your whole group of people that want to be locked in, but they feel like they're always neglected. Well, you could just lock them in with that 30 minutes.
They can make it web only.
Well, as I say, the problem there is, number one, you can't block out that big of an audience like they had at the EA presser or any of the other pressers. You can't have that big of an audience. And then number two, if you just say sports, then yeah, you're going to get the guys that are interested in sports, but basically all of these other, you know, guys that cover games that are bloggers or whatever, they're basically just simply going to ignore that event altogether. So you end up not getting any more press coverage. You may get more interest in guys that are already looking for that. So it probably wouldn't end up paying off at all. And that's an unfortunate side, but that's kind of where we're stuck at. We're the you know, the outcasts of video gaming, that sports, you know, don't mix that with my FPSs and my my Japanese RPGs, you know.
Right. Yeah, and giving them that, I mean, yeah, the easiest thing to do is to give them that minute, but EA just looks at that time frame as such prime real estate. That may be just as hard to do as adding an extra half hour for sports alone.
I know every year the community hates it, but hopefully they can squeeze something in more than a passing mention. Let's go talk about the rest of E3 real quick. We had a big surprise. It's not related to football, but I think it's still worth mentioning while we're on the kick of E3. EA and UFC together, if you followed the backstory with it, years ago, UFC presented to EA, and EA said, well, we really don't view you as a sport. We don't think it would take off. THQ got the license. That first game was a huge hit. A lot of people I know who got it loved it, but then the following two games kind of dropped in sales. EA, in the meantime, had launched EA Sports MMA. The game had the Strikeforce license, but that's the little brother, basically. Not a lot of big star fighters, not a lot of household names. Mm-hmm. But a lot of gamers considered it to be the better fighting game of the two. Well, this past year, UFC purchased Strikeforce, and that basically killed EA Sports MMA. They closed down the servers. All of a sudden, yesterday, it seemed to come out of nowhere. THQ having a lot of financial troubles. No gameplay footage shown at all, just the announcement. EA Sports and UFC together, we had Andrew Wilson, the president of EA Sports, on stage with Dana White. JB, I know you followed some of the UFC stuff. Mm-hmm. You were a community guy for MMA.
Mm-hmm.
Real quickly, how big was that to see that happen?
I got the news early in the day that this was happening, and you know, I let out a few expletives because I just could not believe it. Obviously, I thought the UFC deal with Strikeforce was going to ultimately just kill the game. You know, any chance of having another game? Because no, you know, Strikeforce. If you're an MMA fan, you are going to know a lot of the Strikeforce guys. It may not be as big as UFC, but a lot of those guys, Strikeforce still gets some great numbers on Showtime. You knew a lot of those guys, but it wasn't enough to, you know, compete with THQ, and that was obvious. You know, and there's always seemed to be some friction between Dana White and EA Sports. And then last year, THQ locked up a long-term extension. So that's why this whole deal just completely floored me, because I did not even see this coming until the day that it was announced. And I couldn't be any more happier, because I completely agree that you know, I've been involved with both THQ and EA for community days, so there's no EA bias really here. EA MMA was just more of had more of intuitive controls, where you basically had to play Twister with your fingers on the THQ game in order to kind of get in, and your hand would be fatigued just trying to get advancing in position. It was just insane. But you know, as we come to find out, you know, the THQ president's come out, and you know, unfortunately, people have lost their jobs. So people that we know within the community have moved on from THQ, namely in the WWE franchise. You know, and you know, luckily people that we've known for a while are able to find their footing in other places.
The rest of E3, real quickly, Tommy, talk about some of the games that stood out to you that maybe were previously unannounced or just new footage of a game that you were most excited by or looking forward to.
I think everybody's going to have the surprised answer was Watch Dogs. It basically came out of nowhere. I've not seen it mentioned anywhere. I don't think it's been, you know, teased by Ubisoft or anybody else like that. So it basically came out and kind of stole the show. It was very pretty as far as graphics go. You could tell that it was next gen, and it was later confirmed that it was simply a PC played on high-end graphics. They expect it to be on 360 and PS3, though I bet you won't see those same graphics. At any rate, it was one of those titles that just kind of came out of nowhere, and then on top of that, kind of gave you some gameplay that you've never seen, the sort of gameplay that you saw before, and they didn't give explicit details as to what exactly you'll be doing. So it's one of those things that there's a lot of mystery behind it and a lot of interest because of that. The other one that's really obvious is The Last of Us. It's a game that Naughty Dog has been working on that we've kind of already seen a little bit about before anyways. And I'm a big Uncharted fan, so Naughty Dog doing it is just icing on the cake. It's basically you know, like a post-apocalyptic thriller that it looks like it's going to be probably a lot like Uncharted, just simply with a different scenario and different game mechanics and things like that. So it looks definitely worthwhile to at least pay attention to.
Jeremy, same question to you. What previously unannounced title or maybe new footage of a game has you most excited from what you saw at E3?
I think definitely Watch Dogs stole the show. Like Tommy said, it was the show stealer of the night. I mean, they came out with a little government warning type of thing, and you're wondering, and this thing, the government thing kind of went on for a couple of minutes, and you're wondering, what the hell is this? And then it breaks into the game, and after they showed the footage, you're just sitting there going, wow, you know, and then there's all these rumors that started to, there's no consoles mentioned on the trailer, so people are thinking this is next gen. I was afraid it was next gen. I was like, oh god, I'm gonna have to wait for this until the next gen consoles come out, or I'm gonna have to buy a new PC for this to come out. Mm-hmm. But thank god it came out today that PS3 and 360 are gonna be involved with the game. That definitely kind of blew me away. And obviously, as Tommy said before, also The Last of Us is also high up on the radar. That game looks like it's, you know, the zombie genre seems to be overplayed, but there's so many angles that you can do with it. And, you know, Dead Island was able to capture a great angle of it. I think The Last of Us is going to really kind of even put more of an emphasis on the survival aspect of things. And, you know, I'm not a Star Wars fan, but Star Wars 1313 looks very badass. I don't know if that's going to be a next-gen title or not. That might just be a PC title with, you know, where you got to go buy a new PC for it. But going back to the consoles, I think Beyond is another great one. It's, you know, for some, I see it as an interactive movie because it's the guys that made Heavy Rain. But mm-hmm. whatever they did, it, you know, you didn't even see hardly any gameplay and it pulled you in. If those have played Heavy Rain, they know that there is going to be some kind of gameplay involved where you got to actually play it to get through things. And I think they're going to be able to probably tie in a lot more gameplay than they did with Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain is kind of just a test run for this company. I think Beyond is going to really extend the boundaries and really tell a great story where you can be involved in it.
The only problem I have with Last of Us and Watch Dogs is that those are somewhat far out their titles. I'm not sure when Last of Us is, but I imagine it's probably either late this year or early next year, so it's not that far off. But the one thing that I will say is that I'm interested in both Assassin's Creed 3 and Borderlands 2. The only issue, mm-hmm. only reason they didn't get more publicity is because they are sequels, and basically we're getting a lot of the same gameplay that we've had from their previous versions, and just simply, you know, it's a new story. So,
mm-hmm.
and then as well, to me, this was probably the most boring E3 that I can remember in recent years. Probably a lot of it has to do with because we're near the end of these console titles or these console lives, and everybody's looking forward to when Sony and Microsoft are going to make an official announcement on the next-gen consoles. I think some people wanted to hear something of that. I kind of did too, but at the same time, if you're not going to mention that, you at least have to sell us on something more than a children's book or sell us on something more than Usher dancing on stage. You know,
yeah.
That, to me, both of them spent way too much time, and I really cannot believe they did that for a year when you don't have something that's just going to blow people away.
Yeah, I think in the time frame of when Borderlands 2, which is in September, and Assassin's Creed 3, which is in October, you know, it's all about timing. I mean, that's why you never see Tiger Woods in an E3, you know, for EA Sports, is because that game's already out. So I think that's a lot of it to do. And in E3, you know, it's always about the shock factor and the way you present things, and a lot of it is in CGI and such. You brought up two great examples. They just, to me, they weren't the story of E3 because we already know a lot about them. But, I mean, I've never played an Assassin's Creed game outside of the Brotherhood beta. I've yet to play it. But just throwing in a lot of different elements that, from what I hear, are not in the first two games, and then just throwing in the story of the Revolutionary War, that immediately got me interested and immediately wants me to go quickly play through 1 and 2 just on the easiest difficulties to get the stories and get through to play 3, because I've never been ever overly excited for an Assassin's Creed title until now. And then, of course, Borderlands. Chris and I have played co-op, put in a lot of hours co-op, and this game is money. This game is a blast. There are so many things you can find and loot and such. You know, and so we already kind of know what we're expecting with Borderlands 2. It's just going to kind of be a little more polished, a little more tweaking in here and there. And again, these are two fall titles that we know are out. It's not like, you know, it's nothing that they can really wow us with because we know what's coming.
Personally, all the titles you guys mentioned, I agree 100% with. Watch Dogs, The Last of Us, Assassin's Creed 3. I will say Need for Speed Most Wanted has me interested because I enjoy the Criterion games. I enjoy those kind of half-sim, half-arcade racers. I'm not very good at them, but I enjoy playing them. I was hoping that NBA Live would be at a further state. Steve from OS said that he was told that currently it's at about a 60% stage, so the gameplay he saw wasn't the most impressive, but it wasn't supposed to be at this point. Final E3 question for you, Tommy, because I know you've paid close attention to this. Which female character most looks like Ellen Page? The girl from The Last of Us or the girl from Beyond? One of them is actually her, but which one looks more like her?
Well, watching Beyond, you can definitely tell that looks like Ellen Page. I mean, they did, you know, in the background while they were doing the presentation, they showed where they had all of the tiny little dots to capture the motion capture and stuff like that. So it definitely looked, a ton like Ellen Page. But you're right, she basically is now being featured in two Sony games. Whether she's in one or not, she's basically being featured in it.
Yeah, because the girl from The Last of Us really looks like her, and that was the comment when that game first, the trailers first came out in screens was, is that supposed to be Ellen Page? Because it looks like her. And then I thought it was so funny during E3 when they showed Beyond, and it actually is Ellen Page. If you don't know who she is, she's a girl from Juno. I was like, that's pretty funny because they both look like her, but only one really is her.
Maybe it's because you pictured a video game in a dream within a dream.
They are making a video game of that, I think. I thought I heard.
Well, no, it's just simply a matter of in Beyond, she wakes up and realizes that she's in a post-apocalyptic world with this guy, and she ends up throwing a brick at a guy's face or something.
Now you're getting things confused. But you stole my thunder because I was going to say she looks more like Ellen Page in Juno, the video game, but then you had to mention she was in Juno.
That is a good point. Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin the joke.
Yeah, well...
All right, guys.
Wasn't a very good joke anyway.
Yeah, shut up.
All right, guys. Well, let's call that a show. Everyone, on behalf of Tommy and Jeremy, this is Chris. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.